And now it's time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Wilfred Hyde White and Richard Murdoch in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to that faithful army of public servants who direct our lives and whose function is illustrated by their ancient crest, two crossed memos, and a bowler hat carrying a can. In these times of uneasy peace, one of the problems a government must face is defense.
Now, what we have to ask ourselves is, does this present arrangement fulfill the complete demands of an early warning system? In fact, let me go further and ask, what's the exact purpose of an early warning system?
Well, obviously, it's to tell us of any possible hostile approach in time to take defensive action.
Yes. Now, does this system we've worked out do that?
Yes, I'm sure it does. Any senior official approaching the office will be seen in that mirror we fixed outside your window. That is, if they come up the stairs.
Yes, and anyone coming down the corridor will step on that sugar we sprinkled on the lino. Good. Then we can get on with some golf practice, can't we? Pass my clubs from the map cupboard, would you?
Yes, okay.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah, April, come in.
Actually, it's Mr. Lamb I wanted to see. I've typed those letters ready for you to sign.
Oh, thank you, April, but I asked my secretary to do those.
Well, she passed them to me. She had to go out and get her hair done.
Oh, did she? Well, she didn't ask me. I'll have a little talk with Mildred when she gets back.
I don't think she's coming back today, Mr. Lamb. She said it'd be 4 o'clock by the time she was done, so she thought she'd go straight home.
Oh. I'm afraid Miss Mildred Murfin and I are going to have words. She's been giving herself airs ever since she got picked up by the audience camera in Jukebox Jury. I think she's about due for a large rocket.
Now, too, let's not have any unpleasantness. Pop the ball on the carpet and we can try chipping it into the bottom drawer.
Hello, General Assistance Department, Mr. Hamilton Jones' office.
Is she there?
Oh, yes, he is, Sir Gregory. It's for you, sir. I'm afraid it's Sir Gregory.
Dear me, the one line of attack we didn't think of. Hello, Sir Gregory. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Look, what's General Assistance Department doing at the moment?
Well, we're keeping the ball rolling, you know.
Are you? Well, I want you to put all other work aside at once. There's an important job come right down from cabinet level.
Oh, dear me.
Tell me, what do you feel about Britain's part in the space race?
Well, we must leave no stone unturned, mustn't we? I mean, no avenue one, whatever it is, yes. What exactly is the space race to
come do? Along, man. America and Russia have sent men up into outer space.
Oh.
Now, people are looking to us. This is where you come in.
Oh, good gracious. Surely. Sir Gregory, isn't it a job for a younger man? I mean, my number two here. He'll volunteer, I'm sure.
No. We're not proposing to shoot you off into space.
Oh.
Anybody else, for that matter. There's no prospect of getting an Englishman up there for a very long time.
Well, in that case, Sir Gregory, I'd be proud to go.
The PM's under fire because Britain hasn't done enough in the space business.
I see.
Well, we can't spare the money to do any extra. But we can give publicity and much more of it to what we are doing.
Oh, very cunning, Sir Gregory.
It's not meant to be cunning, man. It's just common sense.
Oh, yes, very cunning common sense, I see. Quite right, Sir Gregory.
Now, this is your job.
Yes.
For the moment, you'll become the Space Information Bureau.
That's interesting.
You'll have to collect and coordinate reports from all our different research centers and send out a weekly bulletin to the press. You and Lamb can meet the Boffins in my office tomorrow. Let's say 10:30.
Yes, very good, Sir Gregory, and kindest regards to Lady... Oh, he's gone.
What was that one?
Work of extreme national importance, too. Something you can really get your teeth into. What a pity we had to be in when he rang up.
Startling experiments at Stoke Newington Laboratory have shown that in extremely cold temperatures in outer space, it will be extremely difficult to keep warm. I think that's the lot. How many weeks have we been sending out these bulletins, April?
It's 4 now, isn't it?
And how much of this stuff has actually found its way into the papers?
Well, there were those 2 lines in the Dumbartonshire Weekly Advertiser.
And nothing in the national papers at all.
That's not surprising, is it? I mean, it's all very well Sir Gregory saying get publicity. There's no facts to get publicity for. Just stringing together a lot of junk, calling it the Space Research Bulletin and sending it out dramatically on the teleprinter doesn't fool the papers.
You're quite right, of course. Look at the high spot in this week's bulletin. It can now be revealed that Britain made a major contribution to the successful American space rocket recently sent up from Cape Canaveral. 2 small nuts in the capsule's right fin were made in Birmingham.
Yes, well, if we had some real news, they'd print it quickly enough. Oh, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, Mildred, what is it?
Look, I'll have to finish sticking those snaps in your album this afternoon. I'm going off to lunch now.
You're not, Mildred. You know very well your lunch hour isn't until 1:30. Miss Adams and I have to go first.
But I've got to go out to the West End and buy a new dress for my party.
sort of a coming out dress?
Certainly not. You're coming out of that one quite sufficiently. As a matter of fact, I've been meaning to speak to you about wearing more suitable clothes for the office. And about punctuality. I expect you to get here at the proper time, go for lunch at the proper time, and leave at the proper time.
What did your last slave die of?
That will do, Mildred. Once and for all, you cannot go to lunch now. It'd mean leaving the office empty.
Well, what about Mr. H.G.? He hasn't come in at all yet.
That's quite enough. I'm bound to say, Mildred, your whole attitude to life is wrong. All you seem to care about is having a good time. If you go on like this, you'll probably find yourself redundant.
Oh, what a thing to say. How dare you? That does it. I'm going out now and I shan't come back till I feel like it.
Yeah, then Mildred, come back. Mildred! Well, would you believe it? She's going to get the biggest rocket she's ever had when she gets back.
Yes, Mr. Lamb. Do you want to add any more to this bulletin?
But jolly good... the bulletin, no. No, it's all ready to go off to the teleprinters.
I suppose we'd better let H.J. see it first. He's rather lost interest since none of the first three got in the papers, but he still likes to tell his chums he's head of space research.
Well, pop it on his desk, will you? And then we'd better go and have lunch.
Ought we to leave the office empty?
If we don't go now, all the hot dishes will be off in the canteen. Besides, H.J. will be here at any minute.
Then you'd better leave him a note. Remind him teleprinters need the bulletin by 1:30.
Oh, good idea. Can I borrow your pencil? Yeah. Now then, a space research bulletin to be sent off at 1:30.
And you ought to explain why Mildred's not here.
Oh, yes, and warn him she's due for a big rocket.
Yes.
If there's going to be a row, he'll want to make sure he's not here. I'll say, big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. What time did she go?
About 1 o'clock, perhaps a bit before.
Yes, one or bit before. And I'll just add, Mildred must be brought down to Earth. I'll leave it on his desk. Come along, April. Wednesday's Shepherd's Pie Day in the canteen.
Morning, Miss Murphy. Morning, Miss Adams. How are you, bright and early this lovely morning? Hello, no one about. They shouldn't all be as late as this, should they? What's the time? Good gracious, 1:40. They've probably gone to lunch, of course. Yes. Think I'll do the same. Nobody can say I haven't put in an appearance.
Excuse me, sir.
Hello, who are you?
From teleprinters. It's gone 1:30, sir, and we haven't had the weekly space bulletin yet.
Bulletin? Oh, yes, of course. I'm so sorry. Help yourself, will you? I think you'll find it's on my desk over there. That's where they usually put it. I must be off. My staff will be back if you want any questions.
Oh, isn't it marvellous? This desk looks like a jumble sale. Ah, space research bulletin to be sent off at 1:30. Oh, this must be it.
Well, Jack, what do you think? We could keep this from the midday edition, push the rest to the middle pages, and run a new headline on the Paris story.
Well, you're the news editor. I'd say it wasn't very strong for the 4 o'clock paper. What are we expecting? Let's see the schedule. Official report on Britain's space program. Any hopes?
No. It's just a weekly handout. It takes 200 words to say we're not doing anything. It'll be coming through on the teleprinter now.
Oh, might as well have a look.
Yes, yes. All right, let's see. There it goes. Report from Government Space Bureau. Big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. Hey, well, what's this? Something's up. Big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. One orbit before Mildred must be brought back to Earth. Ye gods. At last we're doing something in space.
There's our lead, Peter. Yeah,
you bet. Mike, ring up these information people. We've put a rocket into space. Code name Mildred. No, better still. I'll ring them myself. Somebody find me the number. Quick.
Hello, no sign of H.J. yet?
Yes, there is. Look, his umbrella. He's been in and gone out to lunch.
Oh, good. Then he'll have sent the bulletin down to the teleprinters. What about Mildred, I wonder?
Looks as if she's been in, too. There's an envelope on your desk in her handwriting.
Let's see. Mr. R. Lamb, Esquire, Room 24, General Assistance Department, 308 Whitehall, London, SW1, England, by hand. Mr. Lamb, I regard what you said this morning was rude, not fair, and furthermore, a diabolical liberty. I shall not come back until you have apologized or else said you're sorry. If you are ready to do so, you can leave a message with my ma. I will be going round Mars at 4 o'clock. Yours, M. Murphy. All right, I'm nearest. Hello, Space Information Bureau.
Peterson, news editor, Evening Banner, yeah?
Oh, Mr. Peterson, how nice to hear from you.
Now, look, can you give us some information about this big rocket?
Well, of course, which big rocket?
Well, this morning's big rocket. What was the name we were given? Mildred.
Oh, the Mildred business. Good gracious, you press boys get onto everything, don't you?
Mildred was fired this morning, I understand.
Not exactly fired, sort of shot off, you know.
Right, shot off, but this was very sudden, wasn't it?
Not really. We've been building up to it for some time.
Look, where's Mildred now?
Where's Mildred now? I'm not too sure. Wait a minute, though. We've just had a message. Hold on a moment. April, the Evening Banner are trying to dig up some dirt on that row with Mildred. She must have got onto them.
Amazing how anything that happens in a government office is news.
Yes, still, they told us to cooperate. Where's that note from Mildred?
Here you are.
Ah, thank you. Mr. Peterson, I'll read you the latest message on Mildred's whereabouts. The exact words are, we'll be going round Mars at 4 o'clock. Round Mars, that's right, yeah.
Hold it. We've got to print this straight away. Hey, Wilson, set up a special edition. Mildred is going round Mars.
I can't think why they're so interested. Anything else you want to know, Mr. Peterson?
Oh, there certainly is. Is Mildred British?
Oh, yes, Mildred's British, all right.
Yeah, absolutely all British.
Yeah, how do you mean?
Well, I was wondering if any part of Mildred belonged to the United States.
Well, there was an American soldier once who... No, I'm quite sure there isn't.
Oh, splendid. Oh, and there's one other detail the public are sure to want. What's the reason for the name Mildred? Why did it have to be a girl's name?
Why did it... what? Well, I imagine her parents took the doctor's advice.
Parents? Well, wait a minute. You can't possibly mean... Is Mildred a girl?
Oh, I think... Is what?
Is Mildred a girl?
Well, we hate to give firm opinions here at the Ministry, but I can say all available evidence points to the fact.
This is fantastic. Wilson, hold that special edition. So, Mildred is a girl, and she's in this thing?
In what thing?
This rocket.
Yeah, of course. She's right in the middle of it, yes. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Peterson, I really must hang up. We're in the middle of an important meeting.
Wait a minute.
Amazing how some people waste time.
Excellent lunch, I thought, Crumpton.
Yes, very good. Club food's looking up.
New chef, you know. Foreign fellow, I'm afraid. So you've got to hand it to him, haven't you?
Well, back to the office now, I suppose.
Comes from Paris, I think. Wife and I are off to Paris shortly.
You taking a taxi?
Oh, no, my dear friend, I think we'll go by air.
I mean, are you taking a taxi back to your office?
I beg your pardon. Yes, yes, of course.
You are taking a taxi?
No, I don't take taxis. I walk. I enjoy the walk. It's only a matter of 100 yards.
Oh, good.
So,
I go your way. I'll join you.
Good, good.
Interesting stuff you mentioned at lunch, H.J.
Mm-hmm.
So your department keeps tabs on space research?
That's right, yes. Under your hat, of course. But actually, the PM's asked me to look after the whole business.
Has he? By Jove.
The idea is to have one key man coordinating all the different research centers, you know.
Lot of work and worry, isn't it?
Oh, good gracious, never stops. Never stops. And not the sort of thing you can leave to juniors, either. But I see it as a challenge.
Iceberg, special edition, Britain Space Woman sensation.
Hello, what's all this?
Thank you, sir.
Good gracious.
What is it?
Look at this. Britain launches world's first space woman. UK rocket orbits Mars.
Oh, my goodness.
It's fantastic.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yes.
Not that it's any surprise to you, of course, eh?
Oh, no.
Your line of country, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
I must say, you kept very quiet about it over lunch.
Yes, did I? Yes, I did, didn't I? Yes. Heavens, I wish I'd read that bulletin.
Hmm?
Well, protocol, you see.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Remarkable. And you knew about it all the time.
Oh, naturally. I mean, it's our project, isn't it?
What a dark horse you are. Yeah. How big is this rocket?
How big? Oh, well, very big, yes. Oh, very big indeed.
Fancy that.
Well, it has to be, you know. It's got a long way to go, hasn't it? Do you know how far it is to... where was it again?
Mars.
Oh, yes, Mars, yes. Mm. Do you know how far it is to the planet Mars?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. But it's a very long way.
Fascinating to get the inside story like this from someone who knows all the technical side.
Oh, yes, very technical business, of course.
And what about the girly?
The girly?
The girly in the rocket. How was she chosen?
Oh, there's a girly in the... Oh, that girly, yes, that of course, girly, I beg your pardon. Well, exhaustive tests, you know,
really?
Years of training.
What's propelling this rocket?
Hmm?
Solid fuel, steady feed, parallel rocket arrangement, or supercharged variable jets with thermonuclear boosters?
Well, it's not quite so simple as that.
I must say, I take my hat off to you scientific chaps. But tell me, what kind of heat shield have you used
in
this particular...
Crumpton, some of these details are a bit hush-hush. You look too much. Besides, this is my door. I have to dash in, get a bit lost if I'm not there.
Of course, of course.
Good to see you, Crumpton. Goodbye.
Thank goodness you're back, Ron. The office has been going mad.
Oh, I'm not surprised, really, too. You might have told me about this space, Roddick. Undersecretary of the Admiralty asked me about it on the way back from the club, and of course I knew nothing. You know, I don't read that wretched bulletin. I had to bluff pretty hard, I can tell you.
What do you mean, you had to bluff? You were the one who sent off the news.
What?
I didn't even know there was a space rocket till all the phones rang at once. Where was it launched from? When would it be back? I'm the one who had to do the bluff. In the end, we had to leave the receivers off. We've been waiting for you to come and tell us what it's all about.
Me, my dear chap, all I know is what's in the newspaper.
Oh, it's in the papers. Good. Oh, it must be all right then.
Yes, look. We can get most of the facts from the front page. Look at the front page. A dramatic government bulletin at 1:30 announced that Britain has put a woman into space and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on.
They don't seem to give many details.
No, that's the trouble with these wretched government people. They never tell you. Just a minute, there's something wrong here.
Yes, there is, but I can't quite put my finger on it.
We're not supposed to get these facts from the papers. They're supposed to get them from us.
But how can they if we haven't got any?
That's the point. No, two, you're going round in circles. This 1:30 bulletin's the thing we issue. They did get their facts from us.
Oh, then that's all right, then. We're reliable enough.
Now then, now then. Take a grip on yourself, too. Now you're agreeing the rocket news was in our bulletin.
Only if you edited. The bulletin I wrote was the usual load of old rubbish.
That's right, I read it.
Thank you, April.
My dear fellow, how could I have added it? I didn't even see it.
But I put it on your desk as usual.
What?
In fact, look, it's there now. It's right there where I... Oh. If the space bulletin's still on your desk, what got sent round to the teleprinters?
You better ring and find out.
Oh, dear. Hello, get me teleprinters, will you? I'm beginning to get the screaming nudges again.
Teleprinter speaking?
Yeah, this is the Space Information Bureau. What did our 1:30 bulletin say?
Oh, hang on, I've got it here. Big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. One orbit before Mildred must be brought back to Earth.
Oh.
Did you get that?
Right between the eyes. Can you tell us how you got that bulletin?
I got it off the desk like the man told me.
Thank you.
Dude, what is all this? Can you understand it?
I'm afraid I'm getting a ghastly glimmer. Look, one, when you weren't in by lunchtime, I left you a note. And so that, as I see it, is how we come to be the first people to put a clanger into orbit.
Oh, dear, 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 my dear fellow. So there's nothing up there at all. Your face will be red in the morning, too.
More likely deathly white. While you were out, I confirmed the news to 15 papers and acknowledged congratulations from the Turkish embassy.
What a good thing you're on the established staff. You'll probably get away with a transfer to records in the Outer Hebrides.
If only you'd got back from lunch sooner.
My dear fellow, I was having a very important chat with the Undersecretary of the Admiralty, telling him about this rocket, you see, and... Oh, yeah, oh, my goodness. Miss Adams, fetch that little bottle from the first aid cabinet, will you please?
The smelling salts?
Don't be silly, the brandy.
I'm glad you realize the position.
I realize that through your staggering incompetence, I've been boasting to a senior colleague about a rocket that doesn't exist. Do you realize I shan't be able to show my face in the club again?
Oh, bother your club. Do you realize your department's responsible for an entirely false story being shouted by every paper from Land's End to John O'Groats?
Not to mention every radio and TV from New York to Vladivostok.
In fact, the whole situation couldn't be more Vladivostok. When they find out the truth, Britain will be humiliated, the government will be exasperated, and we'll be obliterated.
I think I'll just go and lie down for a minute.
I'll put the receiver back on the phone.
Oh, this is absolute...
Hello? Space Information Bureau?
Ah, Hamilton Jones here.
It's for you, sir.
Oh, dear, dear. Hello, hello. Hamilton Jones here.
Ah, Crumpton here.
Oh, Crumpton.
At the Admiralty.
At the Admiralty, yes.
About this rocket.
The rocket, yes. Perhaps I'd better explain.
No need for that. When I got back and tried to surprise the First Lord of the Admiralty, I found he knew all about it.
Yes, well, of course, we all... What? What did you say?
The First Lord. Said naturally, he'd been on it from the very first thing.
He has?
The press had been on, of course. Wanted to know what arrangements were made for picking up this astronaut when she gets back.
Oh, my goodness.
The First Lord told them he's already diverted the whole home fleet for the job.
Good Lord.
Eh?
I mean, good for him. Good for the Lord. Good for the First Lord.
Oh,
what?
Right, yes.
Yes.
Yes, but,
Just between you and me, you know, he was flannin' in a bit.
Oh.
Our information on the return arrangements, you know, they're not quite to hand.
I see.
We've got the general picture, of course, but could you remind us exactly where the capsule's coming down?
The capsule coming down?
Yes, where?
Where? Oh, yes, the North Sea.
Can you be a little more exact?
Yes. The South.
South?
Yes, that's to say the South North Sea. Somewhere off East Anglia, we think. Do you know that coast at all? Very bracing.
Yes. Well, thank you, Hamilton Jones. We'll get the home fleet there immediately.
I don't wish to sound disrespectful, one, but have you gone stark staring bonkers?
Oh, on the contrary, I've suddenly seen the light.
But you let him believe the rocket is up. You even told him where it was coming down.
Look, if we admit this mistake, we're in trouble, right?
Right.
So why admit it?
Well, it's against all decency and ethics to conceal a mistake. Unless you're quite sure you can get away with it.
Exactly. And on the phone, I realize we just might get away with it.
But how can we get away with it? There are hundreds of people who'd know if a rocket had been fired. And as soon as they know, they'll know they don't know.
But will they dare admit it? You didn't, I didn't, the First Lord of the Admiralty didn't. We're all afraid it was in some dispatch we hadn't read nor to have read. So we pretended we did know.
Oh, dear, I don't like the sound of this.
Well, remember, we've got nothing to lose. April, bring me all the files on Russian and American space flights, will you? And where's that Mildred girl?
She'll be at her mother's by this time.
Then, for heaven's sake, go and find her before the press get hold of her.
All right.
Two, take those receivers off again. Tell the doorman not to let anyone up to this office. Just give me time to think.
Don't bother answering the door, Mike. There'll be quite coming up on telly. Oh, whatever's happening?
We're interrupting television's visit to All in Wrestling at the Athenaeum for our hourly bulletin on Britain's space rocket. Agency messages now suggest that the world's first woman in space is not a trained astronaut, but a typical London typist.
Oh, did you hear that, Ma? Oh, I'm glad it's not me.
However, it's now known that the girl who should at this moment be orbiting the planet Mars is a civil service secretary who volunteered for the job. She's a 19-year-old Londoner, and her name is Mildred Murfin.
Oh! Did you ever? It is me.
Thank you, Mrs. Murfin. Mildred, come along with me.
Oh, it's you, April. Hmm? Yeah, did you hear that? They think I've been shot into space.
You'll be shot somewhere else if you don't come back to the office at once.
Honestly, one, how long do you think we can keep this up?
As long as you've got the good sense to lie low and let them all get on with it. There have been three special editions of the papers already, and nobody's smelt a rat yet.
But aren't they going to want some details soon?
Details, my dear boy, what they want with details. They're quite happy making up their own. Look at this latest paper.
Thanks, I'd rather not.
Nonsense, nonsense. Look at this. Full of good stuff. Listen to this. Tense, pale, but doggedly courageous, Mildred Murfin flies on.
Yes. It is remarkable, isn't it? They fill the whole front page without knowing anything at all. Shares leap on the stock exchange.
Tonight's TV program's cancelled. Dimbleby stands by.
Look, it's spread to the middle as well. I was Mildred's first date by Albert Boggis. It's amazing. Do you know, I'm beginning to believe all this myself.
Look here, look here. Look in the stop press column. This is our best hope yet.
What is it?
Questioned about the rocket at his home this afternoon, the Minister of Science seemed to be taken by surprise. But he said we're all very pleased. I can say nothing more at the moment. Oh, if we're up the creek, we've got a cabinet minister in the same boat. The government can't afford to let the truth out now.
Look, Wan, all these people are British. They want to believe in the rocket. What about the American and Russian tracking stations? They see there's nothing there. They've got the most up-to-date equipment.
Yes, but they're still manned by old-fashioned human beings. Keep your fingers crossed, too.
I don't get it, Dexter. The British rocket should be on this bearing. But look, there's not a thing on the screen. Better tell the news agencies.
Hey, Professor! News flash from Moscow. They say they're picking up the British rocket loud and clear on their new high-powered People's Telescope.
Oh, they are, they? Yeah. Well, let's take another look at this screen. Hey, I can see something. Look there, see?
Yeah, you're right, Professor. It's coming up real clear.
And here's our latest bulletin. Russia's scientists have sighted Britain's rocket in orbit. Giving this news, Moscow Radio paid tribute to the astronaut Mildred Murfin, descended, they said, from Russian grandparents. American tracking stations have also seen the rocket, and Jodrell Bank, at first unable to detect it, now reports the clearest picture of all. The Prime Minister told a crowded house he was justly proud of Britain's space achievement. It showed, he said, what the ship of state could do once it rolled up its sleeves. Meanwhile, Britain's Space Information Bureau remains strangely silent. They're thought to be delaying further statement until after the astronauts' return, which they're awaiting with quiet confidence. Stand by for further bulletins.
No, honestly.
Now then, pull yourself together, for heaven's sake.
Getting Miss Madges again.
Pull yourself together.
It's no use, man. Getting away with it so far has only made it worse. Now the whole world's waiting to see the rocket come back.
And so they shall, my dear fellow, so they shall.
But how can they? We'll have to say it burnt up in space. Mildred can go to South America under a different name and we'll send her postal orders.
Do you mind, Mr. Lamb, South America?
That'll do, Mildred, that'll do. Now, according to my plan, you go no further than South End. Listen, everyone. I've been studying the way these other astronauts got back and I think I've got the answer. Two, ring customs and excise and borrow one of their launches, will you? April, pop into Harridge's and buy a yellow rubber dinghy. Mildred, I'm relying on you to show all the courage and intelligence of which I know you're capable.
Do what?
I want you to do as you're told. Now, listen carefully.
Hello, America. Hello, the world. This is Ed Burroughs reporting to you from London, England. Reporting the three words you've been waiting to hear. Mildred is back. Mildred Murfin, the world's first woman astronaut, has returned from orbiting the planet Mars. Let me give you the details so far as they are known. Through a slight miscalculation, Mildred came down not in the North Sea, where so many sailors were waiting to pick her up. But in the deserted Thames estuary. Here she was rescued by the foresight of Space Information Bureau's Roland Hamilton Jones, who was patrolling this very area in a launch. Only a few lucky spectators on historic South End Pier saw Mildred haul from her rubber dinghy. Tragically, the capsule itself, with all data and records of this historic flight, had already sunk to the bottom of the sea. Reports say Mildred is in good shape, but her immediate boss, Mr. Richard Lamb, was taken to hospital suffering from nervous exhaustion. And so a new page is written in the history of man's endeavor.
How are you feeling now, too?
Well, the week's rest has done me good, but I still dread getting found out. But after all that international hoo-ha about Britain's space triumph, not to mention the rewards we've had from the grateful government, that new hat stand in your office, my 5 days sick leave without a certificate. Mind you, I thought they were a bit over generous with Mildred.
You mean that free book of luncheon vouchers? Anyway, you needn't worry, too. The whole thing's past history now. We'll never get a tougher assignment.
I wouldn't be too sure, one. This wire's just come from the Prime Minister.
Oh, thank you. Let me see. Delighted with your success. Getting a rocket to Mars suggests you can cope with really difficult problems. I therefore appoint you Road Congestion Council. Report Mr. Marples at once. Oh, no, two. This is too much.
Well, it looks like it. Yeah. Oh.
In this program, the men from the Ministry were Wilfred Hyde-White and Richard Murdoch. Other essential personnel were Diana Olson, Norma Ronald, Roy Dotrice, David Graham, and John Graham. The Men from the Ministry is written and produced by Edward Taylor.